pressed his lips to her temple and released a shaky sigh.
Natalie. Lawrence. Report.
Natalie began speaking in that damn language of theirs, shutting her out, and Aziza stiffened in Brandon's embrace. He held up his hand.
English, Natalie.
The woman nodded brusquely.
Same M.O. Body found in plain sight at a normally busy location that has been unnaturally isolated. Still no ideas on how they're doing that.
Natalie's crisp, efficient voice scraped over Aziza's skin as though it were made of broken glass and needles.
Equidistant from the others, but not in a straight line. I definitely think they are being placed with purpose, Bran. The bastards are painting us a pretty picture, and I would bet they aren't finished.
Aziza kept her eyes closed, not wanting to look at Brandon yet. He must have realized when he told Natalie to speak in English that she would find out exactly what he'd been hiding from her.
Lawrence, why are you kneeling? Brandon demanded. Did you find something? Do you have anything to add?
Fido remained silent, and Natalie chuckled. I very much doubt it. The bloody idiot is still stunned, and I believe singed as well, from his run-in with the vessel. He thought she was one of our culprits. He won't soon live that down.
When Brandon's warmth left her, Aziza opened her eyes and watched her big, sexy, bearded giant pick up the unfortunate werewolf by the scruff of his neck and shake him as if he were a chew toy.
Lawrence cried out in pain.
I didn't know, sir. I swear it. I caught the scent and it led to her, and that's all. I didn't know she'd smell like them. You did more than smell her. You laid hands on her or she wouldn't have defended herself. I should kill you for daring to touch what is mine.
The guttural warning made Natalie pale.
Brandon, no. He was just doing his job and she's no worse for it. He wasn't told. He knows the vessel belongs to all of us.
Brandon turned on the female werewolf.
And whose fault is it that he didn't know, Natalie? When the Alpha assigned us to this case, I believe I gave you clear fucking instructions. Let's try it once more, shall we? After you've dealt with the authorities, you will personally relay an image of Aziza along with her scent profile to every enforcer that steps foot in London. This will not happen again, or I'll know who to blame.
Natalie lowered her eyes.
Of course, sir.
It was petty, but Brandon's aggression and the fact that he'd gone from Bran to Sir made Aziza feel better. To a point. She couldn't give in to her jealousy now, not when there was a poor innocent being ignored on the floor, one whose suffering she'd experienced firsthand. Will the police identify her so her family can collect the body? Lawrence glanced over at her hopefully, still shaken from his run-in with Brandon.
Yes, vessel. That is, they will try. If she falls into the same category as the other victims, she may not have blood relatives to claim her body. Friend from that hinky club the exiles visits tried to pick up the other two and pay for services.
Kinky, Natalie interrupted softly. Not hinky, Lawrence. The kinky club.
The club ram visits. Underbridge? Aziza looked down at the girl's body again. What was the connection between these girls and the fetish club? Her. Was this what her Nier had been trying to warn her about? Had Tay known her presence was causing so much unnecessary loss? We should cover her up. Show respect. Lawrence swiftly recovered the robe the girl had been draped in when they found her and placed it over the body.
Yes, vessel, and that is the name of the club. Our men at the yard are already calling the unknown assailant the Underbridge Ripper behind closed doors. If this one's connected to, they'll have a hard time not spreading the name around.
Brandon strode back to her and gripped her hand in his.
I'm getting Aziza out of here before they arrive. Natalie, you're in charge, but remember, you report directly to me on this. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Lawrence.
Brandon's lips drew back in a warning snarl.
Consider yourself on probation. You will not enact punishment or enforce our laws without experienced supervision until I know I can trust you to work on your own. And I suggest you steer clear of me until I say otherwise.
The enforcer paled.
Yes, sir.
Brandon guided her toward the stairs.
Let's get you out of here, Aziza. Get Greg a cab and take you home.
Yes, sir, she said under her breath. Natalie covered her mouth and turned to hide her smile. Aziza scowled. Oh, hell no. She didn't want any girl bonding with the bitch that always seemed to be either sniffing around her boyfriend or at her father's beck and call. She allowed Brandon to pull her up the stairs and out onto the street in silence before she reacted.
Stop!
Her spine tingled, and her palm burned, and she knew without looking that the world around them had ceased to exist. Greg was stopped, still waiting for her where Brandon had left him. The music in the distance was silenced, and the cars on the street stilled. They were the only two people in the world now.
Aziza.
Brandon turned to her, looking down at her hand on his arm when he realized what she'd done.
I know what you're going to say, but before you react in anger again, I wish you'd let me get you home so I can explain.
She let go of him and hugged herself, feeling tired and emptied out. You don't have to explain, Brandon. Your fellow enforcers did fine. Three bodies mutilated by the Janeer. Bodies meant for me to find. And you would have kept me in the dark. Kept lying to me. Telling me everything was fine while you and Natalie and that overzealous furball tried to pin the murders on Ram.
We don't pin things on anyone, Aziza. We follow the evidence.
When she sent him a disbelieving look, Brandon stared at her with an enigmatic expression.
The murder scenes are gruesome. My people are trained to know that mind buggery is the Shiner's weapon of choice. Suicides and the like? Physical violence, torture and sadism. That screams gin.
He broke off eye contact.
And then there's Underbridge. The club is the only connection to the victims, and it's where Ram spends most of his nights, honing his own brand of sadism on the ignorant willing.
A djinn walks into a bar and gets accused of murder? That joke isn't funny. Brandon shook his head.
Our experience, my experience, tells me an exiled djinn can be as dangerous as a wounded predator, Aziza. And I have seen them do unspeakable things over the years to earn back their citizenship and go home. We had to look into the possibility. If I showed favoritism merely because he is your Karen, I would lose my position and the respect of those under my authority.
That's why you've been suggesting I stop going, isn't it? Aziza felt unusually calm, eerily separated. You keep talking about your experience, your training. Razia is still a Nier, a Shiner, as you like to call them, and he has no problem committing acts of physical violence. The Janeer aren't one or the other, Brandon, but they are something enforcers obviously aren't trained for. As for my Karen, you've made it abundantly clear how you feel about him. But you won't admit those feelings could be clouding your judgment. That you could be wrong. All djinn are demons, isn't that right? You and Fido and your werewolf girlfriend are the good guys who chase away the bad devils, protecting humanity like furry superheroes. You are enforcers. Hear you howl. Enforcer. She never liked to think about what Brandon did when he wasn't with her. What he was other than her lover. From what she'd seen, enforcer law sucked. There was no democracy, no trial. Even now she knew there were rooms lined with iron and gold meant to restrain Nier and djinn who'd been caught without proper identification. Or those who were seen as potential threats.
enforcers would interrogate them until they were satisfied. And if they were lucky, they would simply be sent back to where they came from. If they weren't, they would be dead. It didn't sound like justice to her, and she couldn't leave Ram vulnerable to that kind of abuse. They'd been through too much together, been too intimate. No, she couldn't think about that either, because it wasn't something that could ever happen again, not outside of her private fantasies. Brandon could not find out that there were more than the two of them that drunken night in the stable, especially since Ram had lost the ability to protect himself from jealous werewolves not 24 hours later. She wasn't a fool. She understood the need for precautions. She had seen firsthand what the others could do to a human, spirit possession and unspeakable violence. Criminal disregard for the species they deemed inferior. Murder for sport. Still, not all of them were guilty. Certainly not the ones who defied their orders just to protect Aziza and the people she loved. Ram had saved Penn. Tay had saved Greg. They weren't all the same. Brandon's jaw clenched, and he reached up to grip her arms in frustration.
I don't know about superheroes, Aziza, but yes, we are the good guys. We were keeping humans safe before your line existed. Our oldest stories maintain it is why we were created in the first place, our purpose in the grand design. We have our shortcomings, but we've always fought for this world, always put humanity's well-being before our own. We fight for justice just as you do. And what about you, Fireborn? The vessel created to save humanity. Are you so blinded by his one good deed that you can't even entertain the notion that he knows something? That he could be involved? Can you stop defending Ram long enough to protect yourself from his wiles while he fucks and fights his way through the London population?
She flinched. I'm not blind at all, Bran. I know what he's capable of, the good and the bad. I also know that he's not the only one hiding things. They all were. So many secrets. But hers would only affect her relationships. They didn't put anyone's life in danger. His had. Brandon's grip tightened.
You mean Natalie? She is one of the best enforcers we have. She has keen instincts. She's also the one who found the last two bodies, and her brother is a detective on the case, helping us control the flow of information. She's earned the right to be involved in this investigation.
You never told me your father's spy was so beautiful. His gaze didn't waver.
I never noticed.
When Aziza lifted her eyebrows, he shook his head.
Never, Aziza. She's good at her job, but that is all. The Alpha might wish it were different, but he has no say over what I do when I'm off the job.
You never really are. Not really. She took a breath. There was no point in getting sidetracked. I'm talking about Ram. He isn't connected to the killings. He would die before he became a part of the Janir. I think he feels the same way about the Nir as you do about Jin. Hell, you've obviously had enough people tailing him and reporting his every move to know more about where he spends most of his days than I do. Our workouts at the hangar and my visits to Underbridge are the only times I see him anymore, since you and Hillary made it clear he shouldn't stay with us at Penn's flat. And I've told you what goes on at the club. I've even invited you to join me. Since that's how the victims are connected, am I a suspect? I was there last night. Why him and not me? Why not my near Tay? She's not into kink, but at least we both have our unnatural abilities. Ram is powerless.
Powerless, I believe, since I saw the cuff of the exile with my own eyes. But I don't think for a second he isn't causing trouble. It's what Jin do.
Brandon looked down at her, and his grip softened, turning into a caress.
Aziza, damn it. I wanted to comfort you, to be here for you and apologize for keeping this from you, not have this argument again. Believe it or not, I was going to tell you about the women, about the club connection tonight. But after I dropped you off, I spent hours following a trail that kept going cold until this pinged on our radar. I had no idea you'd have to see this before I could tell you everything. I should have told you after the second murder, the moment we realized what the victims had in common.
Yes, you should have. And I know what they have in common. Me, just like before. Razia and his Janir.
It isn't Razia.
Brandon shook his head.
I would know his scent, and that I would have told you.
Only that? He paused.
But I can't doubt that it is Janir. Traces of both races were on the bodies. You're right. We were never trained for this. My people didn't believe their own senses at first. Didn't believe it even after Hillary, Devil, and I gave testimony to the Alpha about what we'd seen. What Natalie confirmed we'd done battle with. We were raised on the old stories, Jin and Nir as enemies throughout time, with only our people and the vessel's treaty standing between them and the destruction of three worlds, theirs and ours. We had no idea, nothing to prepare us for the possibility of a faction of both joining together in secret. It was unthinkable.
It was forbidden. Unheard of. Aziza had heard that before. Tay had told her that the slightest hint of a collaboration would throw her people into chaos. But the Janir managed to do a lot of damage for being such a secret. Razia and his djinn partner Harash alone had been responsible for more suffering than Aziza could measure. They had separated her family when she was still a toddler, driven her mother crazy for most of Aziza's life, and then picked them off, one by one, until only she was left. Their intention that Aziza specifically be the one to accept the gift and become Fireborn was the only reasoning they'd given for their crimes. Someone they could manipulate. They'd had no idea how strong her grief would make her, how determined and dangerous she could be. Harash found out. Brandon was still talking.
And now we have the added headache of dealing with Scotland Yard. Three women, brutally carved up in London in the last 3 weeks, will have every bobby and camera in the city paying closer attention. Our men on the inside can only do so much.
Aziza leaned into his body, craving his warmth enough to give in to momentary weakness. She wasn't dead. He stilled.
What?
She wasn't dead. That's why Greg was on the street. He was calling for help. I couldn't save her. Couldn't stop it. She'd lost too much blood, but they left her alive.
Oh, my love, I'm so sorry you had to see that.
Brandon slid his arms around her and pulled her close, and for a moment, Aziza let him, inhaled his scent, sunshine and sex with a trace of cedar. Hers. Brandon. And then she pulled away.
Aziza.
She shook her head. I can't. We can't do this. Not right now. He went as still as the frozen world around him.
We can't do what, Aziza?
This. She pointed to the both of them. This morning we were breaking your bed in, and today we fought. It happens, I know, that's life. But tonight you want me to fall into your arms and forget you lied about this? I can't. To protect me, or to keep me from protecting Ram, you put Greg and Pin in danger. Are you so blinded by your duty that you don't see that? If the Janir are killing again, out in the open like this, don't you think that the one person who can actually protect them should know? That I should know?
We have enforcers watching the flat.
Of course you do. She laughed, but it wasn't a pleasant sound. And that makes it better? Brandon, you know what I can do. And Natalie, as you've pointed out,
made sure the Alpha knows. If obeying him is that important to you, schedule a meeting and I'll curtsy my ass off. I would have done it the day we arrived if I had known you'd be keeping things from me. I'll do whatever I have to do to make sure no one else dies because of me. But I can't go home with you tonight, and I think we need to take a few days to... He covered her lips in a carnal kiss that cut off her words and made her feel as if her body were melting into his. This was what she'd needed since he came down the tube steps. To be lost in him, in desire instead of darkness. Brandon kissed the way he did everything else, with complete focus and passion and a perfection that was almost too much. Too hot. Too good. So good. She tore her mouth away from his. No. He'd lied. About something too important to brush aside. Brandon, don't!
Stop me then.
He whispered roughly against her neck.
Tell me you don't crave this. That you don't respond to my touch as if you'd die without it.
He lifted her off the ground, and she held onto his shoulders automatically, her legs wrapping instinctively around his waist. His thick erection pushed hard and insistent against her stomach, and she moaned. This. Her body knew his. This was what he was offering her. No thinking, just feeling. Just desire so intense she could already feel tears coming to her eyes, and her body burning up from the inside out because she knew. She knew how he felt inside her, how he would stretch her, and how her tight sex would cling to him and take away his control, bringing out his beast. She wanted to lose herself in it, in him, so much that stopping felt a little like ripping out her own heart. She dropped her legs and struggled. Damn it, Brandon, I mean it! He gripped her ass and she could feel the heat of his hands through her jeans, burning her.
Aziza, baby, you don't. I can taste your need. I know your scent. You can't lie about this. Not what we have between us. Not what we are to each other.
Three girls dead. He lied. She stiffened in his arms, forcing herself to remain unresponsive until he groaned as if he were in pain, and set her slowly back on her feet. He turned away from her and ran his hands through his hair, breathing deeply as if to calm himself.
You're in shock.
His voice was rough,
and I lost my head.
She didn't disagree. I did too. I need Greg to take me home now.
Pins flat, he corrected. Not home.
He turned back around to face her, and his expression made her heart ache.
I promise you, Aziza, as an enforcer and as a man, that I will die before I let anyone harm your family. All that I've done to serve the Alpha since we returned has been to protect them, to protect you.
It rose up then, through the shock and horror of the night. Through the regret, anger. You lied. Disappeared. Told me over and over again that what you were doing had nothing to do with the engineer. Nothing to do with me. How in the fuck does that protect me, Brandon? Ignorance doesn't protect me or keep the people I love alive. Am I supposed to thank the big, strong hero for rescuing the princess before the train hits her? Or kick his ass for not telling her to look over her fucking shoulder.
Aziza.
She backed away. No. I don't need you to fight my battles. I don't need you to protect me from your father, or Natalie, or Razia, and I certainly don't need you to protect me from Ram. She shook her head. You want to know something funny? That Jin you're already convinced is guilty has more faith in my abilities than you do.
Damn it, Aziza. You know that isn't true. That isn't why I didn't tell you. I've always believed in you. Trusted you.
You don't trust me. She forced herself to speak past the tightening in her throat. Not really. Maybe you can't because of what I am. What your little dog said about my stink. All of them and none of them. Maybe we're just fooling ourselves.
His arms came up as if to reach for her, but he stopped himself.
No, Aziza, don't do this. This isn't the time or place for us to say anything we can't take back. I won't apologize for wanting to keep you safe, but this is the last thing I... We can fix this. I can fix this, and I will. That is another promise.
Her cheeks were wet, and she lifted one hand to wipe the moisture absently away.
So you'll tell the Alpha I'll meet him, do whatever he wants to let me in on this? That I want to know what his plan is for stopping these murders, and I refuse to be kept in the dark?
I'll handle it.
He walked over to his bike where it leaned against a nearby lamppost.
Please take a cab back to Penn straight away and call me if there is anything you need.
She nodded, closing her eyes and focusing on time starting up again. She kept them closed even when Greg reached her side, not opening them again until the roar of Brandon's motorcycle faded into the night. Greg put his arms around her.
You okay, Aziza Jane?
No.
No, she really wasn't.
Where did Brandon go?
She didn't answer him, tilting her head back and looking up into the sky instead.
Tay, Chev, if you can hear me, you suck. I don't want to see either of you right now, or I can't be held responsible for my actions. Consider that a warning. And P-fucking-S, don't show up ever again unless you have something to contribute. Help me. Help me stop the Janir. Get me some useful information. Protect Ram and the rest of the people I love. Or fuck off.
She buried her face in Greg's chest and he held her tighter.
Oh boy. Okay, I can see I've missed a lot. You've used Mayette's witness again, didn't you? Let's get you back to Penn's. We can talk about it there. We'll figure out what to do together.
But they wouldn't. Penn, Greg, no one knew how to fix this any more than Aziza did. The Janir were back. People were dying, and Aziza felt like she was falling and couldn't stop. That when she finally hit the ground, something impossible to replace might shatter. Brandon was gone. Chapter 3. It's almost time. All you have to do is let go. No. If she let go, she would fall. Adrenaline made every muscle in Aziza's taut, outstretched body tremble, and her grip tightened instinctively on the silk fabric, the only thing keeping her from crashing to the floor far below. Her mind was flooded by the memory of falling backward carelessly and plummeting from Penn's roof with her arms wide. Though the world had gone black, before she realized it, Ram had saved her from crashing into the unforgiving ground. He wouldn't save her this time. He wouldn't need to. Things were different now. She was different. A small handful of people standing beneath her craned their necks, waiting in absolute silence to see what would happen next. They wouldn't save her either, but she had their undivided attention. Show them how to live. Let go, or I will. Pushing away that disturbing thought, Aziza listened for the cue of the music through the pounding of the blood in her ears. When she heard it, she relaxed her pose and let go of the silk. Her body dropped, twirling down, the floor rising up to meet her so swiftly that to the untrained eye it may have seemed accidental. But she was in complete control. That was the point. She wasn't falling. She was in control. Of this, if not her love life, if not of the djinn or the near or her emotions, of this, if nothing else. The silk that had been coiled purposefully around her waist was now held in both her hands as she swung her legs upward and wrapped the fabric around her ankles. The swaying rigging helped as she used her body's weight and momentum to spin in a dizzying circle through the air. Flying. The music she'd brought to practice on the aerial skills, a club-style remix of Come Josephine and My Flying Machine, reminded her with every precise movement who she was. The vocals were haunting. the beat hard and invigorating. Discordant. It was how she felt. Just a little off. Not completely herself. She was missing something. Brandon. She wavered on the silks before pushing him out of her mind. The song. Focus on the song. The tune from her nightmarish dreams had now become a sort of anthem, a melody meant to keep her mindful of what she'd done, what she'd been told she still needed to do. The more she listened to it, the more familiar it became, not only from the dream, but from a childhood memory that remained frustratingly out of reach. Sometimes she saw flashes of laughter and her father's smiling, bearded face, but nothing else. She never forgot anything. Every word she'd heard spoken and every moment in her life was filed away and easily accessible in her mind. Even the memories she'd rather not keep, like the lifeless eyes of the last night's victim, would always be with her. So why was this apparently happy memory eluding her? Her arms and legs straightened as they'd been trained to do, slowing her spin and pulling her body up with a strength she'd never had before. A strength that had only grown in the last few weeks, giving her this newfound agility. Aziza pushed her legs back against the silks, her body curved and breasts jutting out like the busty carving on the prow of an ancient ship, her skin warm, more from excitement than exertion. Forgetting her pain and fear, she let herself fall forward once more, loving the momentary sensation of weightlessness as she did flip after perfectly controlled flip until she landed on the padded mat and the music came to an end. Back on solid ground again, she sighed in disappointment. The smattering of applause made her grin in spite of her dark mood as her instructor, Anthony, left the others who'd been watching her and came to her side.
"Either I'm a miracle worker, which you are perfectly free to profess to anyone within hearing distance," he said with the self-effacing British charm that was so much a part of his personality. "Or you, Aziza Jane Stewart, are a prodigy. 1 week at your American school and not much more time here, and already you've given our seasoned performers some true competition. That was inspired. Are you quite sure you won't join us in this season's student's performance?"
Aziza laughed, placing her hand on his arm as she bent down to grab her towel and water bottle. "Thanks, Anthony, but I'd rather be in the audience than in the spotlight. It's the best place to watch your show." Enough people, if she could even call them that, had her in their spotlight as it was. It made her twitch to think about how they'd all watched and known the truth about Brandon, the murders, and who knew what else, long before she did. She shook her head and held on to her smile. "I'm grateful you were available for private lessons with everything that's on your plate. This is exactly what I've been needing, especially today." She'd needed a distraction so she could stop climbing the walls at Penn's and thinking about the dead girl's eyes and Brandon's betrayal. So she could stop remembering his heartbreaking expression and his lips on her skin. Greg and Penn had both encouraged her to come today, knowing she needed to work out some of her frustration before she lost what was left of her mind. Unfortunately, even this wasn't enough.
"I am glad of that." Anthony cupped her shoulder in a friendly gesture before dropping his hand awkwardly. "Though my joy is tempered with the knowledge that my charm is not what it once was. Both you and your handsome friend have turned me down again."
Handsome friend. Her instructor was no more immune to Ram's charms than anyone else in this city. He drew people to him like moths to a dangerous flame. From what little she'd seen, the gin had the market cornered in the sultry and breathtakingly beautiful department, and Ram was a prime example of his species, even without his powers.
"Ram was here today?"
She looked around, attempting a casual air, as if she weren't dying to see him, to warn him about the murders, to be near him. Usually she passed him on her way in or saw him watching her practice, but she hadn't caught a glimpse of him yet this morning. She'd talked him into coming with her a couple of weeks ago, when she saw him at Underbridge. Dared him, really, since talking implied a conversation between two people, and Ram tried to avoid those whenever possible.
She'd had to do something. His body had healed, but the rest of him was taking longer. Whether he admitted it or not, he was hurting, and she owed him. Luckily, the dare had paid off. He still wasn't back to his old self, with her at least. But as soon as he arrived here, so many people had fallen all over themselves to be near him, she wasn't surprised when he came with her the next time. And the next. Ram had trained as a warrior most of his life, and he had enviable skill and control over his body, and enough arrogance and ego to appreciate the way everyone here admired it. Admired him.
"He's still here."
Anthony tilted his head, his smile broadening.
"I understand he and another man are having an impromptu sparring session in one of the training rooms."
"I believe that's why it's so empty in here. Shall we go take a look?"
Smiling back, she nodded and followed him through the grand room crisscrossed with ropes and wires, carefully staying out of the way of a young man in a harness who was running along the wall. The hangar was a large industrial building in Greenwich, a little bit hard to get to, but more than worth it for Aziza. The aircraft circus held performances throughout London, and the hangar was where they all worked and trained in aerial silks and trapeze, among other things. With 4 studios, acrobatics, yoga, and flexibility classes, along with these 101 sessions, this was the best place to get the kind of workout she needed, one where she was her only competition, and all her battles were internal. It was her meditation, her workout. And it was by far the preferable option to Werewolf Boot Camp. Thank God she discovered this place. This very human, no magic needed for feats of daring place. When she'd marked running away to join the circus off her bucket list back in Texas so long ago, she'd been sad to leave the small class behind. Because of her memory, the woman performing on an aerial hoop beneath a hot air balloon, but also because of the atmosphere, the acceptance, the feeling of joy and family, the trust. When they arrived in a crowded hallway, Anthony steered her through the huddled group so she could look inside.
"Speaking of perfection," a woman behind her muttered, "you ever seen anything tastier than those 2 fit devils grappling shirtless?"
Aziza was too busy catching her breath to answer. Ram and a man she didn't recognize moved together in a dance-like circle on the exercise mat. Close enough to either kiss or beat each other bloody as they ducked kicks, dodged punches, and held each other's arms down. The spectacle was breathtakingly erotic. Her gin was still godlike and beautiful, but the word pretty was no longer entirely accurate. His time in exile had hardened him, made him look more like the warrior he was than the mischievous, deviant devil she'd first met. He'd cut his hair close to his head in a militant look, and his side still carried the slashing scar from the wound he'd suffered that fateful night. The solid cuff on his wrist that she knew couldn't be removed glinted as he threw a punch, reminding her that his actions had left more than the physical scars behind. He was stronger, his lean muscles more defined than they had been a few weeks ago. When she first met him, she'd thought, despite his behavior, he looked like an angel. Now, he was all man. Ram bent his knees and rolled, a move that should have knocked his opponent on his ass. But instead, the man jumped with a laugh and winked at the audience.
"Fool me once."
A collective sigh echoed through the crowd, and Aziza wasn't any more immune than they were to the smiling stranger. She'd been surrounded by hot men for months, and yet this man still managed to startle her with his attractiveness. It was as if someone had taken all the best qualities of her hunky entourage and poured them into one cool, lean package that reminded her a little bit of a young, short-haired Lenny Kravitz. And she'd had an all-out, posters in her high school locker crush on Lenny. The man had obviously been getting a workout because his light brown skin was gleaming. He wore low-riding black sweatpants and nothing else. And what she'd at first assumed were tattoos, on closer inspection merged into a series of scars across his chest. Raised marks that had form and had obviously been put there on purpose. Designed. Scarification? He had small-gauge piercings in his ears as well. They only made him look more masculine and dangerous. So did his 8-pack abs. He's different. Something drew her in, but Aziza honestly wasn't sure if that was instinct or hormones talking, as if her hormones hadn't been getting enough of a workout already. Would they never be satisfied? At that moment, Ram took advantage of the man's posturing to flip him into the air and onto his back, then covered him with his torso to hold him down. Aziza squirmed. Speaking of erotic. The only way the scene could have been any hotter was if she were naked between them, or if Ram claimed the sexy spoils of his victory as she watched. Oh yeah, she was shameless and getting worse all the time. It must be the djinn in her. Ram grinned down at his vanquished opponent.
Shame on you. Isn't that how your sentence ends?
The people around her clapped, and when Ram raised his emerald eyes to accept the accolades, his gaze crashed into hers with a force that made her knees weak. He frowned abruptly.
Show's over.
The crowd groaned their disappointment as Ram got to his feet and held out a hand to the stranger.
Good match, Whist, he offered in a low voice.
The man rose to his feet and patted Ram on the shoulder in a warm, familiar gesture that told her they knew each other outside of the hangar.
Any time, my friend, and I mean that sincerely. This is better than the yoga class Chai talked me into. Men were never meant to bend that way.
By the subtle southern twang and whiskey warmth of his voice, she could tell West was an American. What was he doing here?
Men were not, but it is lucky for us that women are.
Ram lifted his eyebrows.
Their view alone is worth the attempt, but their flexibility? That is our true reward.
Her lips quirked. There was the Ram she knew. At least he was able to let down his guard with someone, which had to be a good thing, even if that someone wasn't her yet. Ram glanced at her again and held out his hand.
Aziza, wipe the drool off your chin, if you would, and allow me to introduce you to my friend.
Resisting the urge to wipe her mouth, in case he wasn't being sarcastic, she frowned at him and stepped inside the room. Good morning to you, too.
Aziza? Aziza Jane Stewart?
West bent down to scoop up a white towel, tossing it over his shoulder before moving closer and holding out his hand in greeting.
As I live and breathe. Do you know I accused him of making you up? Apparently the fates have been against us from the start, since I've just missed seeing you every time we've come here, and the few times you've visited Underbridge.
When she took his hand, a momentary shock like static arced between them, and it took a second for his words to register. He knew about the club as well? The invite-only fetish club that was now the one common thread in all the murders the enforcers were investigating? Every conversation seemed to come back to that place. She gave Ram a questioning look.
Underbridge?
West's hand was still warm in hers, and her palm tingled when he smiled.
That's where we met him. And now I owe him my life because my roommate is in love with the hangar. Unbeknownst to me, Chai's always wanted to run away and join the circus. The classes have distracted her from driving me crazy with the need to sightsee.
Aziza laughed. Your roommate and I have something in common, then. I'm sorry we keep missing each other. West let her hand go with seeming reluctance.
I'm sorrier now that I know Ram's beautiful, big-eyed badass is real. But now that we've met, we can make up for what we've missed.
Beautiful badass? Aziza bit her lip. West was charming, but what had Ram been telling him?
So Ram talks about me.
Ram smacked his towel against his leg.
West, if you're done silver-tonguing Aziza, would you give us the room for a minute?
Tonguing. Aziza shivered subtly. The Lenny Kravitz lookalike shook his head and sighed.
Still mean as an alley cat this morning, he murmured. Handle with care, Aziza Jane.
West closed the door behind him and they were alone. The crowd had moved on and there was silence in the hallway beyond. Ram was studying her small shorts and revealing leotard as if he hadn't seen them before. As if he hadn't seen her before. He moved past her to lock the door, and Aziza took a shaky breath.
What?
That should be my question, since you're the one who sought me out. You haven't done that in a few weeks. She tried to laugh.
I seek you out all the time. Usually, you just ignore me.
What's wrong? God, how did he know? There was too much. But he was talking to her, and she wasn't ready for that to stop. Wasn't ready to tell him what he needed to know, and then watch him walk away again.
You've made friends, I see. Are they who you've been staying with?
When I'm not with a woman, or in my hideaway at the club, yes. I'm not exactly welcome anywhere else.
Aziza swallowed. She wanted to say he was, but too many others didn't feel the way she did. Nobody else felt the way she did. In spite of all he'd done, they didn't trust him. Not even Greg. Not completely.
I'm sorry.
He was standing closer now.
You look like hell. Spent the night on your knees with your cur again?
She bit the inside of her cheek. Hard. She wouldn't give him the satisfaction of denying it.
On my back, on my knees, against the wall, I don't have to tell you that fireborn is the word for tramp to my people.
Recognizing the barb, he'd once told her fireborn was the word for justice to the djinn. Ram huffed out a surprised laugh at her quick response, looking at her sideways.
Feisty this morning. He narrowed his brilliant green gaze. You're also lying. You spent the night crying, not fucking. Did you and the Enforcer have a fight again? Make my day and tell me it was all about me.
Enough, damn it! For weeks he'd been an ass, ignored her, or judged her, and she'd taken it out of guilt. But after last night, after having to defend him yet again, she was through. He'd called her out on her shit before, and it was about time he got a taste of that hard-to-swallow medicine. She planted her hands on her hips.
Not that everything in this world is about you, but yes, we did. We always do. You're welcome. Because we do, you've been free to continue feeling fucking sorry for yourself and behaving like a petulant ass without enforcer interference. You're welcome. You've been free to fight with me, grapple with your new buddy West, and fuck every woman in sight. Free to enjoy your vacation from fireborn babysitting while the Janir murder innocent women who all seem to have a connection to your favorite hangout. Free to forget everything you said you believed in and leave me alone without any guidance apart from Tay's random, sporadic appearances and my nightmares. You're so fucking welcome. Anything else I can do for you?
He moved so fast it took her a moment to realize he was on her. He took her wrists in his hands and whirled her away from the door to face the wall, her cheeks pushed up against the plaster and her hands behind her, pressed against the front of his snug underpants.
Disappointed in me, Aziza Jane,
he whispered harshly.
Am I not living up to your expectations? Not as good a man as your Kalbu? Was giving up my life and my connections, my powers and my status not enough for you? I'm to live like a priest of Koth, turn my back on my own desires to help guide you through a world I no longer reside in? To watch you make mistake after mistake in supportive silence?
What mistake? She gasped as he thrust his hips against her hands, allowing her to feel the hard length of his erection.
Being with Brandon?
Trusting Brandon, he sneered. But you don't completely, do you? That's what the fight was about.
They didn't seem to trust each other.
His kind are all the same, Ram continued. Enforcers are suckled on hate and violence. You know how he feels about my people. You know what he would do without thinking twice if you didn't interfere.
He paused.
And I know you can imagine how he'd react if I broke in an interrogation and told him about what we did. Told him you swallowed my cock down your throat while he was buried deep in that sweet ass of yours.
I don't think that would end well, do you? But it might be worth it, so you could see what he really is, what he truly cares about.
Aziza felt his words as if they were physical blows. She knew he was lashing out, knew he was hurting.
I'm sorry, okay? About your Talma, Chev? About you being exiled? I'll never regret that you saved Pin, but I didn't know it would cost you this much. I didn't know.
He took her wrists and brought them around to her stomach, still restraining her in a tight embrace. His lips pressed against her hair and he groaned.
You're supposed to fight with me, Aziza. You're supposed to play the game and yell and scream and storm out in a righteous rage, leaving me alone with my bitterness again. The Fireborn doesn't apologize to her Karen.
Her laugh was soft and shaky.
I didn't get that memo.
I can handle the exile, he murmured against her temple. I can even, on occasion, deal with the fact that I don't have access to my natural abilities. But I hate that I've been shut out where there's so much more to do, that I have no way to protect, to fulfill my duty. Away from you, at least I have some measure of control. I can console myself with my lot. And at Underbridge, I am the king of kink.
I actually heard them call you Persian Prince the last time I was there. But I get your point. Does it matter that I need you? That I miss you being my friend?
She knew friend was a weak word for what she felt for him. So weak it was almost a lie. His bark of laughter was harsh.
Yet another reason to stay in my kingdom. Aziza's friend. Am I destined to be another Gregory Prophet? A neutered pet living off the scraps of your affection?
His words pierced through her guilt and made the fire inside her rise. She tried to elbow him and bucked her hips back to struggle against his hold.
Fuck you, Ram! You will never be Greg. Could never be. He's family. My best friend. And the only person who hasn't let me down. You're just the jackass who tricked his way into my pants and turned my life upside down.
Ram began rocking his hips against hers, holding her more tightly when she struggled.
I'm more than that, Aziza. At least admit it to yourself. That's why you haven't pushed, why you let me keep my distance. I'm your guilty secret, the one you silently imagine is watching when you're alone and have only your own hand to offer relief, the one you find yourself wishing would join you in bed with your lover the way he did before.
She groaned. I'm the one who knows you have to struggle every day not to run away from your destiny, he continued. To run away from the expectations you see in everyone's eyes. I know you'd rather be here, rather be at the club, rather forget what you are supposed to do and do what you want instead. I know that what you feel for me scares you, that facing who you truly are, what you could become scares you even more.
Yes.
She couldn't bring herself to say it out loud, but she couldn't deny that she still had feelings for him. Fantasies. That she wanted him to do more than press his body against hers. She also couldn't deny that her big, magical destiny still scared the shit out of her. Her abilities were amazing, but she was still just Aziza. She just wanted to be Aziza, not the vessel or fireborn, not the savior of the world or humanity or werewolf kind, just Aziza. Ram knew her. Sometimes she thought he knew her better than anyone, even Greg. That didn't mean she liked hearing it. The selfish, irresponsible, broken girl wasn't who she wanted to be.
Let me go, Ram.
He did. And Aziza turned to leave, but Ram held her in place, his hand on her arm.
Aziza,
he swore, his fingers tightening on her skin.
Stay. Talk to me.
I've tried. She glanced at him over her shoulder. I've been trying for weeks. I owe you.
No,
he interrupted roughly.
Don't try because you owe me. I jumped in the water that night because all I could think about was you never speaking to me again. Little English was a means to an end for me. Rayam let go of her and reached up to touch the gold and emerald earring he'd made for her when he'd first shown himself, to help control her abilities. The one she hadn't taken off since that night in the stable.
I jumped in because you threw this on the ground and looked at me with cold fire and contempt in your eyes. With disappointment. Don't make me a hero, Fireborn. Brandon is your hero. Greg is your hero. I'm just the jackass who tricked his way into your pants.
You're also an idiot. She turned and cupped his face with her hands. You did it. You were there and you jumped knowing what it would mean. Why doesn't matter. Pin is alive because of your actions. She's the only family I know for sure I've got left. The only one at my side. She's it. If I'd lost her, I'm not sure I could have come back from it.
She pressed her forehead against his jaw, fighting tears she knew he wouldn't want to see.
You've been rude and impossible to deal with lately. But as much as I hate that side of you, it will never change what you did that night, and I do owe you for that. So shut the fuck up and let me tell you about what's going on at Underbridge.
Ram placed one finger under her chin and lifted her face until their gazes locked.
Language, Aziza.
He made a sound of reproach, but his eyes weren't the hard gems they'd been for so long now. Something had changed. Had she finally gotten through to him?
Go shower and I'll meet you out front, he said. We can share a taxi while you tell me about the Janir's latest killing spree, and I tell you whatever I know.
Aziza hesitated for only a second before confessing.
Brandon and I... He hid the murders from me, lied, and told me the Janir weren't back. He said he was trying to protect me, but I know that's not the only reason. Do you feel better now that you can say I told you so?
He frowned at her for a long moment and then brushed his thumb over her lips.
No, actually, I don't. Go. I'll see you in a few minutes.
The weight that had been slowly crushing her heart since she'd seen him lying bloody on the ground after he lost his powers began to lift.
Sure.
She took a deep breath.
Sounds good.
She was relieved, she told herself. He was reaching out again, and as his friend, she was relieved. That was all.
Liar.
Unlocking the door, she walked swiftly down the hallway, unwilling to say another word in case she jinxed it. To get to the stairs that led to the showers, she passed through the large rooms where she'd practiced the silks.
Aziza Jane, twice in 1 hour. We must be making up for lost time.
West was leaning against the far wall. He knew he was good-looking, damn it. She could tell.
I was headed to the locker rooms.
West nodded. I'll get there someday, if I can ever get the girl off that hoop of hers. Maybe once this song is over. It's her favorite.
It was one of her favorites as well. Adele singing about setting fire to the rain. Aziza turned to look, and suddenly everything slowed down. She could hear her pulse throbbing in her ears, a drumbeat that matched the melody. What she saw was straight out of her memories, straight out of her dreams, her happy thought that put out her fire and helped her gain control. The woman dangling below one of the balloons ahead of them, hanging on to some kind of metallic hoop. A fearless trapeze artist. She twisted her body around the metal ring in a sinuous dance that seemed dangerous, and yet it was the most beautiful thing Aziza had ever seen. Freedom. Out of the basket and into the air, hanging by a thread and carried by the wind, Aziza couldn't tear her gaze away. She imagined she was that woman. How if she just lifted her arms and ignored the boisterous males behind her? She could do what the trapeze artist was doing. Be her for just a moment. It would almost be like... flying. She was riveting.
the way she moved on the aerial hoop, as if she had wings and no fear of falling.